Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique take at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gonsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at a bunch of places, including Baseball Prospectus and the Hardball Times. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, or you can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, and you can find me on Locker Room at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode, even though it'll be highly depressing. Although, if you're not a Yankee fan and you're listening to this because you want to hear me rant, you're in for a treat. Anyway, rough weekend in Philadelphia. We'll talk about that. Yankees needed the off day today. I think we all needed it. So many off days lately. I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, and I'm going to look back at a game from 2009, because that game was really good compared to this weekend. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Here we are on another off day for the Yankees. They had an off day last Monday. They had that odd off day on Friday, and now they're off again before having to go to Buffalo to play the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, who hit 8 home runs in Fenway Park yesterday. So, with the way the Yankees have been playing, this might be a very ugly series in Buffalo. And maybe the off day on Friday was a good thing, because with the way they played this weekend, it's possible they could have been swept in 3 games by Philadelphia. So now the Yankees are 1 game above 500. They're in a free fall again. And all of this seemed to have started after they swept the White Sox. And there was that other ill-timed off day. At the time, it felt like a good off day because they had played 13 games in a row. But now it seems as if it screwed them up. And I also don't understand all the off days the last 2 weeks. Because then they're going to go through another run where they're playing a bunch of games without off days. And it just, oh, Saturday's game was annoying because the Yankees made a big comeback and then lost it in extras. I knew as soon as they tied it, they needed to pull ahead. I knew that tying it wasn't going to do anything. I just had this awful feeling that Philadelphia would either win in the bottom of the 9th or win in the bottom of the 10th. And I was right. And then Sunday's game, who could have predicted that Aaron Nola, who had been struggling, came into the game with a somewhat somewhat bloated ERA would shut down the Yankees and make them look silly. It also didn't help that Judge and Stanton weren't in the lineup, but the rest of the guys need to step it up if those guys aren't in the lineup. It's ridiculous. What an embarrassing showing. And I feel bad for all the people that I know that went to Philadelphia to watch those 2 games. I'm not even exaggerating when I say that I know at least, I would say, 12 to 14 people who were in Philadelphia this weekend, and they had to sit through those 2 games. You know, Saturday's was better because at least the Yankees made that comeback and made it a little exciting yesterday. I can't imagine sitting through that game in person. And then after today's off day, they will be in Buffalo for 3 games to play the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, who hit 8 home runs in Fenway Park yesterday and set a record. I don't think any team has hit that many. I believe the previous record was 7 home runs by an opposing team. And if I read the tweet correctly, the 1961 Yankees had a game where they hit 6 home runs in Fenway Park. So, yeah, the Yankees are running into a Blue Jays offense that seems to be on fire, while their offense, at least yesterday, didn't do anything. I'm not looking forward to this at all. It's going to be... I just have a feeling it's going to be bad. And it's hard, as the host of this show, to want to be... I want to be objective. I don't want to... I think I try, and I think I succeed at balancing my fandom and my job. Because ultimately this is a job, and I try to analyze how the Yankees are doing, but my fandom kind of slips into it, because you can't help that. But my God, this team is just, they're not fun to watch right now, at all. I used to enjoy being happy about a baseball game being on, and now I'm happier when off days happen. That's how bad this team is playing right now. It is just not fun to be a Yankee fan. Nor is it fun hosting a show about this team right now, because they're so bad. They're doing what they did last year, where they're awful, then they'll be good for, you know, 2 weeks, then they're awful again for 2 weeks. There's no consistency with this team at all. And it's just so frustrating to watch, because you think they turned a corner, and then something like the past 2 weeks happens. And it's clear they haven't turned that corner. And at this point, on June 14th, you're wondering if they're ever going to turn that corner. In a moment, we'll go through some numbers from the short 2-game series in Philadelphia. But first, investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to grow your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. Let's go through the numbers from yesterday's game, because that was the really bad one. So the Yankees only managed 4 hits. The Phillies had 12. LeMahieu was 2 for 4. Torres 1 for 4. Odor 1 for 4. No one else got a hit. So everyone who was complaining, including me, about Odor hitting third, at least he got a hit, although he did strike out twice, and so did Gleyber Torres. The Yankees had 11 strikeouts and 1 walk. Yeah, you can't score if you don't walk when you're not hitting. So that doesn't help. Herman, 4 1/3 innings pitched, 7 runs on 10 hits, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk. I guess the good thing is no Yankee pitchers gave up home runs yesterday. Wandy Peralta came in, pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up a hit. Lucas Lecky pitched 2 innings, struck out 2, gave up a hit. Loizaga pitched an inning, struck out 1. So Herman is the only one who gave up runs. Lucas Lecky is doing well in his role. But my God, yeah, you can't score when you're not walking. I just don't understand this team at all. And while it's good for LeMahieu to have gotten 2 hits yesterday, he also had an error. So that's not good. I don't know. I will say that I was pleasantly surprised that Aaron Boone was a little pissed off yesterday after the game, because someone asked, one of the reporters asked him if the Yankees are getting comfortable with losing, and it sure as hell seems like they are, but he didn't like that too much. So I kind of hope he got fired up after yesterday's game and was throwing stuff around the clubhouse, even though he probably shouldn't with his heart condition, but he needs to get fired up. He needs to. I mean, this team is just, they're not hitting. The pitching is usually okay. You know, there are a few clunkers. You know, Herman had a clunker yesterday. But overall, the pitching has been good compared to the hitting all season. You know what I mean? They can't get everything rolling at the same time. And when they're not hitting, they're also sloppy in the field. They're not running well on the base paths when they're hitting. And there are times when they should be scoring more runs, but they're not scoring more runs. And then they let the other teams get into the games, you know, like the Twins, those final two games they played against the Twins. The one game, it was okay that the Twins scored four runs in the ninth inning because the Yankees had enough runs to cover it. In that last game, they did not. So I don't know if they have to go through fundamentals again or what, but sometimes this team looks like the Bad News Bears out there, and you're the New York Yankees. For the love of God, you shouldn't be looking like this. So I will have a preview of the Blue Jays series on tomorrow's episode. Right now, we're going back to 2009. I know it's an odd thing because it's 12 years, not 10 or 5 or 15, but on this date in 2009, the Yankees played the Mets. It was a Sunday game. It was a 109 start, and I remember being shocked that I didn't have to sit through a Yankee-Met night game aired on ESPN that day. I was actually relieved. But I remember heading into this game thinking that I was going to be sitting through a 9-8 game because it was AJ Burnett against Johan Santana. And I just thought to myself, this is going to be one of those annoying games that's back and forth and the Yankees might find a stupid way to lose. Boy, was I wrong. So Sunday, June 14th, 2009, attendance 47,943. The game lasted 3 hours, 18 minutes. Again, your starters, AJ Burnett, Johan Santana. The Mets lineup, Alex Cora, Fernando Martinez, Carlos Beltran, David Wright, Ryan Church, Gary Sheffield, Daniel Murphy, Brian Schneider, Luis Castillo. Yankees, Derek Jeter, Johnny Damon, Mark Teixeira, Alex Rodriguez, Robinson Cano, Nick Swisher, Hideki Matsui, Melky Cabrera, Francisco Cervelli. Your umpires, Jim Wolfe, Brian Onora, Fielding Culbreth, and Gary Cederstrom. The weather was 68 degrees. It was very nice that day. And slightly cloudy. I was sitting in my old seats at the stadium. The first seats that they gave me when they transferred us over from the new stadium, old stadium to the new stadium. They stuck us out in right field, all the way at the end, lower level of the upper deck. And those were pretty good seats. And I think I've said this before, but it took me a while to be able to tell when a ball was going to be a home run because my old view at the old stadium was from above the dugout. And from there, you can tell when something was going out. You know, for us, we didn't get to see a lot of the home runs land if they landed in the short porch because we couldn't see below us. So yeah, it took a while for me to figure out what was going to be hit well and what wasn't going to be hit well sitting in those seats. So the game started off kind of, well, not boring. I shouldn't say that, but AJ Burnett had a 1-2-3 inning in the first and the second. Johan Santana gave up a single to Jeter. A leadoff single, and then he got Damon to strike out, Teixeira to pop fly to second, and A-Rod to line out to short. The bottom of the second, Robinson Cano led off with a double. Nick Swisher hit a fly ball to deep center field that advanced Cano to third. Hideki Matsui walked. Melky Cabrera struck out swinging. So there were two outs at this point. Then Francisco Cervelli, Derek Jeter, Johnny Damon hit back-to-back-to-back singles, but Johnny Damon was thrown out at second base on that single, and it was one of the, he was caught in a rundown, so it was, he was out at second base, left fielder threw it to third, who threw it to shortstop, who threw it to the first baseman, who threw it to the shortstop, and then he was out, but the Yankees were up 4-0 at that point. AJ Burnett gave up two walks and a single, and then struck out Alex Cora, Fernando Martinez, and got Beltran to line out. So the Mets got something going there in the top of the third. And my first thought was, oh, here we go. He's going to give up a grand slam. But he didn't. Then the bottom of the third, Johan has a 1-2-3 inning. Top of the fourth, David Wright hits a single. Church strikes out while Sheffield's up. Burnett uncorks a wild pitch, ends up walking Sheffield, and then Daniel Murphy hits into a double play. So it's still 4-0 Yankees at that point. Then the shit hit the fan for Johan Santana. In a moment, we're going to go through the rest of the game from 2009, and as I said, the bottom of the fourth was a bad one for Johan Santana. But first, you hear me talk about this every week, but Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Has 9 delicious flavors, including the occasional limited time flavor, but all of them are fantastic. You have coconut, almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everyone. As I always say, mint brownie is my absolute all-time favorite Built Bar flavor. I love it so much. But if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. I suggest you do that because you never know what you're going to like. All the bars are high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar. They're delicious. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, mint brownie. If you like mint and chocolate, it doesn't taste like it's healthy for you, which is the best thing about Built Bars. They taste like they're naughty and they taste like they're candy bars, but they're actually really good for you. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams make their run through the playoffs. The Islanders are looking good so far against Tampa. The Nets are having a little trouble against the Bucks, but if you want to bet on either of those teams, you can. Just head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Picking up where I left off, the bottom of the fourth is where everything fell apart for the Mets and Johan Santana. He started things off with a walk against Nick Swisher. Then Hideki Matsui hits a home run to make it 6-0. Then, Melky Cabrera hits a double. Francisco Cervelli hits a single. Jeter hits a single that scores Cabrera, and it's 7-0. So Brian Stokes comes in to replace Johan Santana. Johnny Damon greets him rather rudely with a double that scores Cervelli. Jeter makes it to third. Mark Teixeira hits a single right back to Stokes. Jeter stays at third. Damon stays at second. So the bases are loaded. A-Rod hits into a ground ball double play. Jeter scores. Robinson Cano hits a home run. Yikes. It's 11-0 at that point. Nick Swisher walks. Hideki Matsui walks. Then Cabrera hits a double. Swisher and Matsui scores. And then he's out of third because he was a little too greedy. So that's 2 innings that ended with base running mistakes that could have gone on longer. So when all was said and done in the bottom of the fourth, the Yankees scored 9 runs on 8 hits. And it was 13-0 at that point. So the next few innings are quiet. Then the bottom of the seventh, Cervelli hits a fly ball to right. Angel Barroa, yes, remember when he was on the Yankees? He was hit by a pitch. Johnny Damon walks. Brett Gardner walks. Ramiro Pena hits a single that scores Barroa and advances Damon to third, Gardner to second. Then Ken Takahashi replaces John Switzer pitching. Robinson Cano hits a sac fly that scores Damon to make it 15-0, and that's how it would end. So A.J. Burnett pitched through the seventh inning and was replaced by D-Rob, who got a 1-2-3 inning in the top of the eighth. Then Takahashi was able to not give up any runs to the Yankees. Phil Hughes came in to replace D-Rob. He pitched the top of the ninth inning, gave up a single to Wilson Valdez, got Ryan Church strikeout looking. Sheffield hit a single. Daniel Murphy struck out looking, and then Brian Schneider ended the game on a pop fly to the catcher behind home plate, and the Yankees won 15-0. Now, as I said, I was expecting this game to be a 9-8 game. I was not expecting A.J. Burnett to pitch through 7 innings, and I was pleasantly surprised, but let's go through all those numbers. So, All nine of those runs in the fourth inning were charged to Johan Santana. So he pitched three innings, gave up nine runs on nine hits. He had two walks, two strikeouts, gave up one home run. Brian Stokes pitched two innings, gave up four runs on six hits, two walks, two strikeouts, one home run. Switzer pitched an inning and a third, gave up two runs on two hits. And then Takahashi pitched one and two thirds, got a walk, a strikeout. He did not give up a home run. AJ Burnett, seven innings, four hits, no runs, four walks, eight strikeouts. D-Rob, one inning pitched, two strikeouts. Phil Hughes, one inning, two hits, two strikeouts. So, yeah, again, not expecting that game to turn out the way it did. Remember when the Yankees offense could score 15 runs? I miss those days. If you've listened to this show for a while, you know that that means it's time for an injury update. Zach Britton has been activated, so he's back in the bullpen. Luke Voit is beginning his rehab assignment. I believe they said he should be back by next week. Luis Severino was pitching in a rehab start, you know, because he's coming back from Tommy John surgery, and he pulled his groin. Because of course he did. And what's worse is he was looking good, throwing hard, and then he suddenly pulled his groin and had to be helped off the field. So, that's a setback. Who could have seen that coming? Oh, and in case you didn't know, but I don't know how you don't know, the reason that Aaron Judge was out yesterday was because he was having back spasms. I think that's probably because he's been carrying the offense on his back lately. Although I did see some people saying, oh, it's just back spasms. Have you ever had a back spasm? Because they're not fun. I get them a lot. I hurt my back in college and it's never been the same since. And they are just really unpleasant. You know, the mentality of people who think, oh, just rub dirt on it, you'll be fine. Yeah, no, not with back spasms. So the Yankees are off to their slowest start in 65 games since 2016. 2016, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. Not that they missed by, you know, it wasn't like they were under 500 that year. They just missed the playoffs. But considering how this team was projected to do at the beginning of the season, and now things are changing. Baseball Reference only sees them winning 83 games. And at this point, 83 games would be a gift with the way they're playing. With the way they're playing, they won't even win a wild card spot. So they really do need to turn things around. And hey, maybe they won't turn things around. Maybe this will be the off year for the Yankees, where people thought they were going to do well, and then they didn't do well, and they missed the playoffs again. And then maybe Hal will have a fire lit under his rear end and do something about it instead of being content with just making money and the Yankees not actually winning something. Because he always says, oh no, it's about winning. No, it really isn't, because you're not showing that it's about winning at all. So I'm going to end the show before I go on a rant about Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman. Maybe I will save that for tomorrow's show. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.